We thank you, Father, for all those who have come out tonight to sit under your teaching, to sit under your love, Father God. We pray that you would, in the name of Jesus, speak everyone's love language. We all learn in different ways. You know the individual needs represented here, Father God, and we pray in the name of Jesus that every single need is met by you because you're a good, good God, and you love us so very much. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Tonight's message is on receiving the Father's love experientially. How many have really been enjoying the message during this revival from Gleanings from the Father's Heart? Has it been? Well, let's just give it a break. There's a sound of thunder there. Things that we have heard are truly life-changing if we but accept it, believe it, and live it out. Through this revival, we have learned that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He's our Savior, and he only does what he sees the Father doing. And we've had a wonderful message today about the Holy Spirit working in our lives. I hope that those who were here this morning have gotten every single heart wound healed by the Holy Spirit, that he has brought it to your attention, and you've just let it go. I know that many did get free this morning. That's a hallelujah. But if you talk to Christians, and I'm even talking about Christians who've been Christians for years, you ask them about their personal encounters with Jesus experientially, they can just go on and on and on and on and on. It's just really wonderful just sharing. And if you ask them about how they, their experiential encounters with the Holy Spirit, again, you know, and it's wonderful sharing. But if you in turn ask them, what are your experiential encounters with Father God? They can't talk so long, a lot of them. They may say a few things, but not a lot. Well, there are three people to the Godhead, and you just can't put one on the shelf just because of some stinking thinking that you've come to accept in your heart over the years. God is love. 1 John 4:8 ends with God is love. And we know that, a lot of us here in our brains, but many have not felt the Father's love experientially in our hearts. You cannot have intimacy without an encounter. Even in the world with wrong types of intimacy, they don't occur unless you have an actual encounter. And many today do not understand what true love really is. To some, love equals sex. Love means pain, especially if you're a child who's constantly getting beaten with a belt and your parent is telling you, I'm just doing this because I love you. You know, love is pain. And for many of us in my life, love was conditional. I grew up in a home, and I think this affects probably the largest part of Christians. I grew up with love that was conditional. So, Elaine, if you do this, you're okay. If you think this, you're fine. But if you think differently or do different things, then you're going to be in trouble. And so many of us have not encountered the Father, and that's through absolutely no fault of the Father. Our faulty thinking, it's through our faulty thinking and our self-imposed blockages to his love. When I was a little girl, I had an aunt who was an elder in the Presbyterian Church. And because of that, I thought she was like right up there next to God, and everything she told me was the truth. And she would tell me, Elaine, when you fall and hurt yourself, it's God punishing you. And I believe that. And I was a tomboy. I mean, I fell out of trees. One time I jumped out of a barn loft, and praise the Lord, there was hay beneath because I was trying to be Peter Pan. But every time I hurt myself, I would say, well, okay, I pulled my sister's hair, you know, or I took a dime out of my mother's purse to go buy candy at the corner store. But one day, and I'll never forget it, I can just even see it clear as day now. I was 9 years old, and I was running up the steps, and you know how you hit your crazy bone and how it hurts really bad? Well, I was at the top of the steps, and I was crying. The pain was gone, but I was crying because it entered my mind, you know what? I don't think I did anything wrong today. And I started to get the image that Father God was mean, he was unfair, and I really didn't want all that much to do with him. Wanted to go to heaven, but didn't want to be near the Father. And even as a Christian, a brand new Christian, I really kind of still put God the Father on a shelf. Jesus, yes, of course. Holy Spirit, yes, bring it on. But Father God, I still had those unbeliefs that needed to be healed. And so Father God is often put on a shelf through faulty beliefs. We know that Jesus is the good shepherd, and he goes after his flock. He keeps them safe. He even goes after those that wander and brings them back. We are absolutely feel safe in Jesus' arm as our shepherd. But sometimes our view of God, the Father, is that he runs behind us playing gotcha. You know, he's keeping a record of who's naughty and nice. And, you know, it's just going to point that out to you. I had a friend who went to Israel, and she said one day she saw all these sheep running down the road, and the shepherd was behind them with his staff, and they were just a-bleating and running, and he's following behind them, just kind of beating them along the way. And she goes, huh, that's really unusual, because I thought sheep followed the shepherd. And the tour guide said, that's no shepherd. That's the executioner, and they're going to the slaughterhouse. But sometimes that's our view of Father God, that he is out to get us, to point out our flaws and to beat us over the head with us. In Exodus 20, verses 18 through 21, when the people saw the thunder and the lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled in fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself, and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us, or we will die. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Well, today, there are too many Christians sitting in their chairs every Sunday, and they may pray, and they may read their Bibles, but they don't want to go up any higher on that mountain for whatever reason. Maybe it's because they just haven't had an experiential encounter with God to really feel it. And they just may be content with the same old, same old. They wonder why they're not being effective for the kingdom. But a lot of it is because they just have faulty thinking about Father. Many of these same people, they don't want to live like that, but they don't know how to get out. There is this fear that I think that if they make any kind of strange or unusual movements, that God's all of a sudden going to notice and strike them dead, or call attention to themselves, and God will somehow find out and be displeased with them. When I was a new Christian, I still had this faulty thinking, and I was in my kitchen one day. I was supposed to be cooking dinner, but I was praising the Lord. And I had a vision of the throne room. And in it, I was in heaven. There were thousands of people all over heaven. And we looked like gold. Couldn't see faces, but we were gold. But up on the throne, the gold throne, was Father God. You couldn't see his face, but you knew he was there. And I was like Isaiah. Woe is me. I am undone. I am undone. I'm a person of unclean lips. And while I was standing there, I was trying to hide behind some people, you know, because you don't want to be noticed, really, but you want to look in awe upon the throne. And Father God leaned forward, and he pointed in my direction. And I thought, I'm really done now. I am really done now. And I then really tried to hide behind somebody, but you can't hide from God. And I peeked out, and he's still. And so there were no words exchanged, but I did go, hoping that the answer would be, yeah, yes, or no. But he nodded his head yes. So you have to go forward when God says go forward. So I went forward. I knew I was toast. But at that moment, Father God leaned forward. And I went running up to him. I jumped in his lap. And for the first time, I really felt his love for me. It was like liquid. I can't even begin to describe it. I had so much fun with him. We laughed. And when I came to, I was on the floor. Hadn't started dinner, but I didn't care. And I sensed that God saying, Elaine, I really love you. And at the same time that I was playing with you on my lap, I was doing the exact same thing for everybody else up here that you saw. I can do that because I'm God. So he is a wonderful, wonderful, loving God. And he has been helping me in my journey. You know, there was a time in my life where I would just be, because of my upbringing and my past, I would lay in bed just crying, saying, God, I don't know the first thing about love. I don't know how to give love. Don't know how to receive love. I don't even know what love is. And yet you say in your word that we have to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. You know, I'm really messed up. But it's been a process, but he has been teaching me more and more about his love and filling me more and more with his love because he is a good, good God. Years ago, there was a revival in Lakeland, Florida. And it went on in a big tent. And three of my friends drove down to Florida to that. And on the way down, we were discussing, what do you hope to get out of this revival? And I said immediately, I want to go up that mountain. If I die, I die, but I'm going to go up that mountain. And everybody shared what they wanted to do. Well, we get down there, and it's in a big tent. And the first night, I'm so excited. I'm down there right in front of the platform, worshiping my heart out. Worshiping my heart out so much that I didn't see that a storm was coming up. And all of a sudden, it was just like Wednesday night. Boom! And there was a great big amplifier right in front of me. And thunder and lights went out and then on. And people were like kind of yelling and going back to their seats and everything. And there's Zoe Lane. I'm laying down in the sawdust. And I'm going up! I'm going up! I'm going up! And indeed, that's where God's been taking me. And I was laughing the whole time too. Jesus came to reveal the Father. In John 17, 25 to 26, it says, righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love that you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Chris Tomlin sings a beautiful, beautiful song. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I am loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. We really need to let that sink deep. He loves us so much. And you know what? He's a fun God. He's a fun father once I really experienced that. I'll tell you how much fun he was. One time I was sitting at my kitchen table one morning, and I live alone, and I said, you know, I really miss back scratches, Father. I don't know how you're going to do it, but could you give me a back scratch somehow today? And I went off, did my thing, but I happened to be ministering at a nursing home that day, and I had ministered there before. There was a young man named David who had been brain injured, and he was in a wheelchair. Now, David only could make guttural noises. He could move his arms, but he couldn't move his legs. And I had never heard him speak as many times as I'd been there, put up his hand, nothing. He sat there with his hands in his lap and his head down, looking at towards the floor. So I was very surprised at the end of the ministry time. I always said, does anybody need prayer? Well, guess whose hand shot up? It was David's. So I'm thinking, okay, Lord, you're going to have, he can't really talk, so you're going to have to show me what he needs prayer for. So I went over to him, and I leaned down beside his wheelchair, and I said, David, what is it that that we can pray for you today? Well, the next thing I knew, he had thrown me across his lap, and he's scratching my back. And the help there is saying, no, no, help us get her off of him and him off of her. And I'm laughing and crying at the same time, saying, no, it's an answer to prayer. It's an answer to prayer. So we were, when I had explained myself to them, we were all laughing and praising God. You know, he answers our prayer. He loves us. And you know what? I bet he was laughing his head off too, to see that. But when you know that you know that you know that you know that you are loved by the Father and you have that experiential, intimate encounter with him, and it's more than once, it's anytime you want it, there is absolutely nothing that anybody can do to take away your joy. You have the sure knowledge of Romans 8, 31 to 32, that then shall we say in response to this, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how can he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? You know, it makes me sad to hear people say, oh, the devil's really after me. The enemy is really attacking me. And we announce this to others around us. It's sad because then there arises a spirit of fear, and it affects other people that are around us. And it's a spirit of fear because it's not really knowing fully who we are in Christ when you hear that. And I've been guilty of doing the same thing. But 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So when someone said, well, the devil's coming through the door, well, guess what you just did? You just made a declaration with your mouth. And if the devil was not near the door to begin with, guess who now has the authority to show up? We don't have to speak out everything that we see. When I first started flowing in the prophetic, I blurted out everything. And God had to rein me in big time. You know, he said, I will tell you, Elaine, when to speak, when to put something on a shelf for later release, and when to keep your mouth shut and to just pray what you see and hear. And now I want you to know that he said that all very lovingly to me, because he is a God of love and I'm his beloved daughter. And just like you are his beloved sons and daughters, we're family. And it's a completely different kind of family than our culture teaches us sometimes. So we already know that the devil and his minions are out and about. But that knowledge shouldn't bother us, even when we know that they're aiming their fiery darts right at us. Why? Because as the songs that we sang tonight, the victory has already been won. We win, we win, we win. Psalm 27:3 says, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. What will I be confident about? I will be confident that Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. Psalm 18:2 says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. You know, even Smith Wigglesworth, the great evangelist, the story is told that one night he was fast asleep and he woke up and there was Satan right in front of him. You know what he did? He said, it's only you, and turned over and went back to sleep. And we should be like that too, because God is greater and we won. You know, if we hear this out of people, it's okay to know that you're being attacked, and it's okay to go to other people. But what you should really be doing is, instead of saying I'm attacked, da 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 da, is help me pull down peace, help me pull down wisdom. whatever it is that you need, can you pray with me and help me pull this down from heaven? And just ignore the devil. When I got served divorce papers, I'm telling you, that day I laid in the floor with them and I shouted at the top of my lungs, "Devil, you're a liar and a thief. You're a liar and a thief." And God immediately said, "Elaine, Elaine, Elaine." Right words, wrong tone, and certainly wrong decibel. So I laid there and I did not get up until I could just whisper, "Devil, you're a liar and a thief." And when I got up, I started declaring the word of the Lord over my divorce papers. I started pulling down that piece. I knew that my God was for me and not against me. And you know what? When I went through that, I really truly believed that God was going to save my marriage. I even went to the court on the day. I didn't have to go to the courthouse because I didn't file papers, but I was just sure that my husband was going to change his mind. But he didn't. And it didn't happen. But you know what? I still trusted in the Lord just as much as I did before. I knew that he loved me just as much as he did before. And just like King David did when he prayed for his baby son with Bathsheba, that he would live, and then the baby died. He got up, and remember, he dressed himself, and he went on and changed his clothes, and he went in to worship the Lord. Well, when I got home from that courthouse, I worshiped the Lord, and I went on, and God has made lemonade, and he'll do the same with you, no matter what you're going through. We know that Jesus came to reveal the Father. Actually, when you think about it, he came to a planet here of orphan spirits to reveal what we really needed most, the Father and the Father's love. We also know that the ills of humanity can be healed with just that one revelation of Father's love. Jesus came to help us to focus our attention and affection on the Father, who is good all the time. There, he knows there is nothing not good in the Father, just as there's nothing not good in Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Years ago, some of you may remember, there was a big outpouring of the Father's blessing, and it arose out of Toronto Christian Fellowship in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and it spread all over the world. People came from thousands of people all over the world to receive that Father's blessing. And I first experienced, I've been to Canada, that used to be my filling station, but I first experienced the Father's blessing at an Aglo in Ocean City, Maryland. Melinda Fish was there, and she had written this book called The River Is Here. And she ministered the Father's blessing to us. And I have to tell you, it's actually the only real time I've ever been slain in the Spirit. And I didn't even have a catcher. I went up in the air, and then I went down on my back, and I hit the ground, but it felt like I was on a great big feather pillow. And, and you know what? I started laughing. I mean, I'm not talking about a tee-hee-hee. I'm talking about a great big belly laugh that just erupted, where you have to hold your belly, but yet it feels so good. And everybody all around me was doing the same thing. We had a fun time. God was really healing us then. In fact, I laughed constantly from Friday night to Sunday, and I still laugh from time to time. And you know when I really like to laugh? When I'm doing warfare praying, because I know the enemy is gnashing his teeth for that, and I know who wins. I know who has the victory. But you know, we laugh because a merry heart doeth good like medicine, and God showed me that some of the healing that he was doing, he showed me exactly what he was healing. And there were some, I said, "What are you doing?" And he goes, "Well, you know, this is what a good father he is. You know, Elaine, some things you just don't need to know about. Just know that I'm healing you, and I love you." Well, I was so excited Saturday morning. I woke up, and I was singing secular love songs to God. and Grace knows exactly what I mean because she sings them too. But we just changed the words around. I was singing praise songs. I was just making up my words. And I can remember going on the balcony. Now, you need to know this about me. Before I met Christ, I was dignified. I was very quiet. And you know what? This is the real me. You're stuck with it. It's my personality. You know, Jesus has just pulled it up. You know, that this is the real Elaine, not the Elaine that grew up and went through so much. He has just really done a lot with me. And you know what? Y'all have to love it because you're Christians. You're called to love. But anyway, I went out to the balcony, and I saw some friends of mine. They were still laughing, too. You know, this laughter is contagious, but it's in a good way. It's not a bad way at all. And I can remember on the 9th floor going out on the balcony yelling, Jeremiah 18, we're at the Potter's house. And somebody who wasn't even at the conference started laughing below. I said, I believe we're at the Clarion Hotel or wherever it was. I forget where we had the hotel. But they were laughing too. But it was just a wonderful time in the Lord. And, you know, it just wasn't. You know how sometimes you can go to conferences and you really get ministered to greatly. And then, like, 3 weeks later, you're back to normal. This was a lasting thing. And it stayed with me. And that was over 20 years ago. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We had that verse this morning from Pastor Barbara. And joy is a fruit of the Spirit. You know, your countenance will always reflect what's inside of you. Your countenance will always reflect what you believe in your heart about Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. Your countenance will always reflect how far up that mountain you have been. May we never stop learning about God's love. I will never stop experiencing new intimacies with Him. May we always have new intimate encounters with Father. Not only going higher, I'm going deeper. And I know that all of you want the same, or you wouldn't be here tonight. And out of this intimacy with God, that He is able to perform signs, wonders, and miracles through us. Signs, wonders, and miracles are not just for a few people. It's for everyone who calls themselves a Christian. We should be raising the dead, casting out devils. And I do have a story about the dead coming back to life. I'm an old ER nurse, and I was in the ER at BB. And a gentleman came in, and he went into cardiac arrest. And we worked on him for over 45 minutes, and he was finally pronounced by two doctors. But during the time that he was in cardiac arrest, I'm praying, Lord, if he doesn't know you, please give him a second chance. And I even spoke out, you know what, this man's going to go up to the ICU. And I remember a nurse turning around to me right in the middle of it and saying, pray on, sister. So I did. And then he was pronounced dead by not only an emergency room physician, but a cardiologist to boot. And he was, as we say in the ER, he was deader than a doornail, as he was purple, and, you know, that was it. So the doctors left to go tell the wife, and I'm actually in a corner, and I'm apologizing to God. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that I did not hear you right, and I spoke that out. I don't want to bring you any shame. You know, may the shame be on me for calling out something that wasn't right. And then I heard the nurse say, you prayed back a gork. And I turned around. He had pinked up. I said, God doesn't bring back gorks. I said, raise your right arm, Mr. Smith. He raised his arm. Well, thankfully, they found the two doctors. And the ER doctor came in before they had notified the wife. So the ER doctor comes back in, and he is very professional all the time. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's very confident. He was quite good. But when he walked back in the room, he said, what do we do? And I couldn't resist it. I said, we praise the Lord. So that man did live. He went up to the ICU, and he left the hospital a week later. But you know that doctor a couple weeks later, he said, oh, it just wasn't his time. some people will see these signs, wonders, and miracles, and they will not give God the credit at all. The hope of the world is not the return of Christ. That's the hope of the church. The hope of the world is the power of the gospel. Jesus did what he saw the Father doing. We can do no less. Whenever we get up in the morning, we should say, Father, what are you doing today that I can be a part of? Just what Jesus did. He did what he saw the Father doing. And if you start doing that, if you're not doing that already, you will begin just some glorious adventures daily with the Father that will not only fill you with joy, but it'll put a smile on your face and a smile in your heart, and it will be very meaningful and life transforming for someone else. And I remember the first time I ever said that to God. The first day that I said it, I got a vision of a man coming into the emergency room. Now, granted, I did not know where in the emergency room I was working that day. But this man came into triage, young man, he had a red jacket on. And I said, okay, God, what am I supposed to say? And he said, just tell him that I love him. Tell him that he almost drowned when he was 8 years old and that I saved him. I said, okay, maybe this is due to pizza. I don't know. But I went to work and there I was. I was assigned to triage. I was there about an hour. And this man in a red jacket comes in, the same one I had seen in my vision. So now I'm a little nervous, like, how am I going to take his blood pressure and explain all this, you know? So I'm taking his blood pressure and I'm saying, you know, I'm a Christian woman, and I had a vision today of you coming in, and I just need to tell you that God loves you very, very much, and he saved you when you almost drowned when you're 8 years old. And the man looked at me, and he goes, no, my brother saved me. It was off the coast of Florida. I said, well, God wants you to know that he used your brother to save you and that he loves you very much. So he said, why do you go to church? And it turned out he was a Mennonite. And he said, I don't believe in that prophetic mess at all. So I thought, okay, I did my job. I did my assignment. He went on. When he was discharged, he came back out to the triage area. And he said, I really don't believe that prophetic mess. But he said, I'm going to really think about it. I said, well, you just think about how much God loves you. And so he started to walk away. And he turned around and he came back and he goes, you know, I think I need to tell you that I almost didn't wear my red jacket today. In fact, I left with a green one and I went back in the house and changed into a red one. I said, you see, God has your number and he loves you very much. So I have to tell you that I don't get those visions every day or even frequently, but I do ask God to use me. What can I do that he's doing that I can be a part of? And you know what? When I go to grocery stores or Walmart, you know, people start coming up to me and they start, sometimes they share things that I think, oh, gee, I wouldn't share that with a stranger. But you know what? It's not me. They're sharing it with Jesus. And sometimes I've prayed with them. Sometimes I've given them a word. Sometimes I just listen and give them a hug or a smile. And this happens so frequently. Or God will highlight somebody for me to walk by and pray. But it happened so frequently that the last time I was in Walmart, nobody came up. And I dawdled in there because it was raining really hard outside. And so I said, God, is there anybody, you know, what, you didn't highlight anybody? He said, how many people have you smiled at in this store? I said, well, I forgot a lot of them. He said, well, you know what? There's healing in your smile because you know me. And there's deliverance sometimes in a smile. So just remember that when you go out, that the value of just smiling generally with the smile of Jesus. This is a season of great outpouring. Our world is about to become much darker than it is now. The light is getting a lot brighter, though. There's a great harvest. So faced with a choice, do we remain the same or do we climb that mountain and also go deeper? Do we want to be the one that God flows through in signs, wonders, and miracles, or the one who only reads about it or hears about it? I had a dream recently about going deeper in the ocean, and the ocean was a beautiful shade of indigo blue. Now, you have to know that in the natural, I don't swim. I can do a good cannonball off the deep end of a swimming pool and swim to the side, but I would drown if I were in the bay in the ocean unless God saved me. But in this dream, I was swimming out deeper in the ocean. And there were friends of mine who were on the shore saying, come on, Elaine, come closer to the shore. And with great joy, I would say, no, I'm going deeper. I'm going deeper with God. And you know, there wasn't nary a boat, a life vest, or a helicopter. I was going deeper and deeper with the Lord. And I know that many of you want to do that too. You also want to go up that mountain. And you know what? I want a shiny face like Moses. And only I don't want to put on a veil. I want people to see Jesus and Jesus only. No, Elaine, just Jesus and the Father's love. To feel the Father's love in everything I say, everything I do, and everyone I touch. And I know you want that too. It's time to go up higher. So the altar is open. If you want to go up higher, if you want to go deeper, if you have never experienced the Father's love experientially, and you want that, come on up. If you want more of the Father's love, come on up. And we thank you, Father. We just thank you for your love. We thank you that you're filling each one of us more and more and more to full and overflowing. And we love you. We praise you. We thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. Come and be with you. Use us. Use us for this glorious outpouring as the harvest comes in so that people can see the power of your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.